I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic.
Keep your eyes on the road.
Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You are listening to Perplexity.
Unfortunately, we are all familiar with clowns. Known for their colorful, oversized costumes and facial features, distinctive makeup, and general buffoonery, their purpose is to induce hearty laughter. This career goes back thousands and thousands of years and still persists today. And while many strange people, in my opinion, enjoy clowns, there are just as many, if not more, who find clowns to be absolutely terrifying. So, where did clowns come from? Why are we so scared of them? And should we be scared of them? Let's get into it. Today's episode is all about clowns. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Perplexity, a mystery podcast. As always, I am your host, Kadra. If you're new to the show, hello and welcome. I tell tales every single week that have perplexed me. So if you love a good mystery that leaves you wanting more, don't worry, you're in the right place. And if you end up enjoying today's episode, I would love if you continue to follow along. If you're a returning listener, hello, my friends. Welcome back. So happy you're here. I'm really facing my fears today because I love you guys so much. I don't know what got into me this week, but I thought, let's do an episode on one of my biggest fears. I have hated clowns since I was a kid, and it has always perplexed me. Like, what is in someone's psyche to make them want to dress up and be a clown? And I did find a lot of things really affirming as to why I'm scared of clowns from a psychological perspective, so we will get into all of that. I'm super excited. I just want to remind everybody really quickly of a couple things, and then we will get started. So first and foremost, if you have not done so yet, please continue to tell other people about the show. Word of mouth goes a really long way. We are starting to see some growth, and that is so exciting. And I really, really am so happy to have all of these new listeners here. If you have not left a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify, if you're not following along on Good Pods, I found out I'm charting on there. So go check out goodpods.com also and help a girl out. But yeah, 5-star reviews go a really long way. It's how I get new listeners. It boosts me up the algorithms. And that is a free, super quick way to support the show. If you want to support the show further, and if you want tons of exclusive bonus content, join the Perplexed Society. The tiers start at just $2 a month, and that gets you early and ad-free episodes. And if you want to unlock over 70 pieces of bonus content, then you can check out tiers starting at $5. at patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. I just released my coverage of the Martha Stewart documentary, and I have some more things coming very soon, but tons of fun stuff going on over there. Texas urban legends, creepy stories from the internet, some vlogs and like personal stories, some bonus episodes. It's really whatever you guys want, and it is a community. So go check that out if that interests you. Trigger warning for today's episode. I scared myself with this one. Okay. So this episode might not be for you if you have coulrophobia, fear of clowns, like me. So listener discretion is advised, and all the sources that I used for today's episode will be available down in the show notes. So, ready or not, let's get into this insane episode all about clowns. So the word clown comes from the Icelandic word klunni, which means a clumsy person. And the fear of clowns, something that I 1000% have, is known as coulrophobia. The first known clown dates all the way back to the 5th dynasty of Egypt, around 2400 BC. The Egyptians would capture other tribes, and they would force them to make up dance routines to entertain their kings. Early clowns were also priests. Yeah, I know. There wasn't really anything to do back then, so I guess they were religious and entertainers. They had balance. And I mean, there wasn't a lot of entertainment back then, so we had clowns, I guess. They thought, specifically in Egypt, that it was really important to have a good laugh. It was good for the soul. The earliest ancestors of the clowns go back to ancient Greece as well. And these clowns were distinctively bald, and they wore a lot of padding. They were known to be background characters. They would parody the actions of more serious characters in a production, kind of like a mime. They were also known to sometimes pelt the spectators with nuts. Can you imagine just sitting and watching a play and a clown is throwing peanuts at you? Wild. These clowns also appeared in Rome, except they wore pointy hats and checkered robes. They were known as stupidus. They were consistently the butt of the jokes. They were privy to abuse from their fellow actors. And in Rome, if someone died in your family, it was also common tradition to hire a clown for the funeral. It was basically this mime that would come out and impersonate the dead person. I'm just really trying to imagine a funeral where a bunch of people are around this casket crying over their loved one, and all of a sudden a mime just comes out and starts impersonating the dead person. Like, I don't even know what I would do. It's like some weird, creepy roast. And I've never seen a silent roast. In the Middle Ages, clowns were also known as jesters, and they served as royals like servants. They wore patchwork clothing, and this symbolized being lower class. But they were allowed to say whatever they wanted, including being allowed to get away with making fun of royalty. There are also other cultures, including Native Americans, who viewed clowns as being magical. They were deeply intertwined with spirituality. And to them, humor was part of the spiritual awakening. This clown phenomenon spread to other parts of the world, and in the 16th century, clowns became very popular in Italy. Masked clowns were very popular there, specifically because of a traveling Italian theatrical company known as Commedia dell'arte. They developed one of the most famous clowns of all time that they called the Arlecchino, or the Harlequin, which might sound familiar. You know, Harley Quinn. The Harlequin wears a checkered costume and is known to be lighthearted, witty, but they are also a trickster. They cause a lot of chaos. In fact, the Harlequin has been known to trick just about anybody, even the devil himself. He's known to wear a black domino mask and carry a bat or a noisy slapstick, which he would frequently use to spank people. spicy. This is where the term slapstick came from. They would actually put gunpowder on these sticks or bats, rub it on there, and then when the Harlequin would slap the bat down, it would make this insanely loud noise. I didn't know that's where slapstick came from. Traveling English actors of the 17th century were responsible for the introduction of stage clowns to Germany. And one of the really popular characters here was Pickle Herring. Quite a name. And Pickle Herring fits the bill for what we see in our minds when we think of a clown today. He's got those oversized neck ruffles, which are called ruffs, by the way. The big shoes, the oversized clothing and hat, and the traditional white face makeup. This apparently was first introduced in France with a character called Pedrolino. He had a bald head and he used flour to whiten his face. This character came to life even more in the early 19th century thanks to a very creepy looking clown. Pictures will be on YouTube and in the Instagram. Jean-Baptiste Gaspard Deberoux. Deberoux created this sad, lovesick, pathetic clown, and the characteristics that Deberoux created are still used in the clown personality today. And fun fact, Deberoux also killed a little boy, whacking him in the head with a stick after the little boy said something to him on the street. He apparently was making fun of him, and Deberoux just whacked him across the head, killing him. Whether it was an accident or not, super fucked up. And this kind of began the point in my story affirming why I don't like clowns. I also found this hilarious Britannica article that talked about a bunch of famous clowns. The most famous clown of all time is Joseph Grimaldi, and we owe thanks or blame to this London, England performer because he was the father of modern clowning. He was the OG circus clown, okay? And in the early 1800s, Grimaldi created the character Joey, who reportedly was the first clown to wear white face makeup and paint. He painted the large red lips, you know? Some clowns that had the white face, but not all the extra color. And he had been clowning since he was 2 years old. He learned all the tricks of the trade from his abusive, psychotic father. Grimaldi is where we get the classic clown look from. He also specialized in classic physical comedy. He would flip around, he would fake trip, and he used slapstick. But Grimaldi was also known for being inappropriate with his young female students. He had intimate relations with them off stage. He did have an injury during one of his shows. He got a little too excited and he accidentally shot himself in the foot. Yeah, and this put him out of work for a month, and by the time he came back, he had become a drunk. Some people argue he was the OG sad clown. He also developed severe arthritis by the time he was 30 because he was doing all these insane stunts. He was flipping around all the time. And he was in so much pain after his performances, he would like give it all he's got and he would have to have assistants physically carry him off the stage. Grimaldi also had a son who he raised in a similar fashion to how he was raised. He wanted him to become part of clowning, but things did not end well for his son. His son passed away at the young age of 31, putting Grimaldi down an even darker and depressed path. He and his wife actually attempted suicide, but both of them survived. Just 5 years later, though, Grimaldi would pass away. So he really did have a life of tragedy. Another famous clown is Oleg Popov. Again, what a name. And according to this really funny Britannica article, he might be considered the Tom Brady of clowns. They said, like the famed NFL quarterback whose big break came when he replaced a hurt teammate, Oleg Popov took the lead when the Moscow Circus's main clown was injured. So the rest is history. In 1956, Popov became the head clown and went on to become one of the most beloved clowns in the Soviet Union. He was known as the Sunshine Clown because he was very optimistic. Then you had another famous juxtaposition of Oleg Popov, another clown. This was Emmett Kelly. And Emmett Kelly created the clown Weary Willy, another great name. This was a sad clown who wore tattered clothes, and arguably his most famous routine involved him trying to sweep up a spotlight and appearing startled when it disappeared. So he's the reason we have the sad clown. Then there is a clown pretty much everyone has heard of. This fictional character appeared on various TV shows in the US, most notably Bozo's Circus, later the Bozo Show. So this is Bozo the Clown. His show premiered in Chicago in 1959. He wore fiery red hair. He had a big nose, oversized shoes. He was super popular with kids, and the show went on for a long time. The pictures of this guy really creep me out. I don't trust it. And similar to Bozo the Clown, we had Ronald McDonald, the mascot of McDonald's since the early 60s. And Bozo the Clown actually helped create Ronald McDonald, but he inspired his original look, which I had never seen before, and holy shit. So Ronald McDonald in his, you know, yellow jumpsuit, the red hair, everything, that's not what he used to look like. He, believe it or not, looked even scarier before that. Basically, I guess they were trying to advertise the McDonald's food. So he had like a giant tray of food on his head. He had a McDonald's cup as a nose. He had a belt that dispensed hamburgers to children. Again, these pictures will be on Instagram and in the YouTube if you dare to look at them. But this design didn't go well. It freaked out kids. So he got the rebrand that we know today, and that's when he became really popular with the kids. In the early 21st century, it was estimated that more than 95% of American youth recognized Ronald McDonald. So he became quite famous. He was so popular, in fact, that some people blame him for contributing to childhood obesity because he was promoting this unhealthy food at McDonald's. So now that we know a little bit more about the history of clowns and some famous clowns that got this all started, I want to lead us to the next question. Should we be scared of clowns? We have to talk about this infamous serial killer, arguably the most guilty of starting the modern trend of evil clowns, John Wayne Gacy. Pretty much everybody knows who John Wayne Gacy is, and I'm not going to go into too much detail because I do eventually want to do like a full episode on him, but just a brief synopsis. In the 1970s, John Wayne Gacy brutally murdered 35 people, primarily young men and boys in the Chicagoland area. When he wasn't committing these horrific murders, Gacy was known to dress up as Pogo the Clown, and he would perform at various charity events and children's parties. And at one point, he actually said, quote, "Clowns can get away with murder." But he was convicted in 1980, and he was executed by lethal injection in 1994. But Gacy really made people start to think twice about these clowns showing up at your child's birthday party. And around this time, in 1988, the horror comedy classic Killer Clowns hit the screens. This involved evil alien clowns, and they came up with very inventive ways, we're talking like Final Destination style, to kill their victims. Like, there was one time where they encased a bunch of their victims into cocoons made from cotton candy. And then, of course, there is Stephen King's Pennywise, who really became popular in 1986 when he released his horror novel, It. This was an evil, shape-shifting murderer that was known to kill kids and often took the appearance of a clown called Pennywise. and this happened in the fictional town of Derry, Maine. Perhaps the most frightening clown of all time. It is also theorized that Pennywise inspired the clown hysteria in the 1980s and more recently in 2016. There's also the urban legend of Sprinkles the Killer Clown. The urban legend goes something like this. In 1973, a caravan of circus performers were making their way across the Appalachians. It wasn't a busy part of the circus season. It was a bad winter, and there was a big storm coming. As they rounded the many turns coming down the top of the mountains, the icy roads finally got the best of the caravan. Several cars found their way off the road and over the hill. One of these vehicles carried four clowns and was never found. Several weeks later, two of the four clowns were found walking down from the mountain with only their pants on. They drastically needed medical attention. Frostbite from the snowstorm robbed them of many of their fingers and toes. After months of receiving care, the local police were able to question the whereabouts of the other two performers from the wreck. Their story was grim. The third clown had died instantly from the wreck, and the fourth, known as Sprinkles, used the dead body to feed the rest of the clowns. He kept the other two clowns tied up like hostages in the wreckage. It wasn't until one of the survivors got his hands free to get the upper hand on Sprinkles just long enough that they could make their escape. They left Sprinkles laying in an ice-cold stream. They assumed the icy cold waters would end his life. But no. According to pictures taken on a trail cam in eastern Kentucky, Sprinkles could very well still be alive, living out in the woods, laying in wait to terrorize more people. These photographs did surface online, and again, these will be on Instagram and on the YouTube video. The photographs are believed to have come from somewhere around 2010, maybe a little earlier. The photos you see are a man in an oversized inflatable green and yellow clown costume with very large black eyes, a white face, red nose, rainbow wig, and oversized shoes, staring menacingly into the trail cam. And this leads us to the 2016 clown panic, which I briefly talked about in my mass hysteria episode that I did forever ago. I talked about three different examples of mass hysteria, but we're going to get into it in more detail now. So, Friday, September 30th, 2016, police in Newcastle would receive a report of somebody dressed as a creepy clown. He was leaping out of the bushes and scaring kids. Over the next few days, more and more reports trickled in. And by the time it was getting close to Halloween, October 5th, the tabloids officially announced there was a terrifying clown craze sweeping the world. Concerned parents began to make Facebook pages about the clowns, but this only further fed into the panic. The Metropolitan Police were also advising kids to call 999 if they saw a killer clown. This trend arguably became more popular when people all over the country started dressing up as clowns, allegedly as part of a PR stunt, because Stephen King's 1986 horror novel, It, was now having a movie come out. You guys remember? It was a terrifying movie. So apparently, one of the theories is that a bunch of people were dressing up to help advertise the movie, which I gotta say is pretty smart, and it seems like it was quite successful. But this panic got really intense. There were reports of clowns terrorizing children and even attacking people. As a matter of fact, in Pennsylvania, there was a report of a teenager that had been murdered by someone in a clown mask. But feeding into the panic more, this report was later proven to be false. So this is just an example of a lot of the media that was involved and how they really blew up this panic. It was actually the person that was murdered that owned this clown mask. They weren't murdered by a clown. A few weeks prior to this murder, there was also a report of a clown stabbing a teenager in Varberg, Sweden. The media continued to publish dozens and dozens of unsubstantiated claims. There were all these articles being published about creepy clowns, killer clowns, everywhere. And these sightings suddenly became international. There was even hotlines for children's counseling that were getting hundreds of calls from kids worried about being hurt by a clown. The police advised people if they saw a clown to just ignore it, don't engage, walk away, and to report the incident to authorities, saying that the clowns would only disappear if they got bored. At one point, the panic got so bad, schools in Texas and Alabama shut down. The police were making dozens of arrests also because there were people either making false reports for attention or there were people actually dressing up in clown costumes trying to scare people. The paranoia got so bad it even reached the White House, where Press Secretary Josh Earnest had to field questions about the president's stance on creepy clowns during a press briefing. The 2016 clown panic is an example of what folklorists would call ostension, which is the acting out of urban legends. Another classic example of ostension might involve a group of high school students going to a cemetery that they think is haunted and claiming that they saw a ghost there. But sometimes ostension can become very dark, like the infamous true crime case where two young girls in Wisconsin stabbed their friend to appease Slender Man in 2014. A folklorist named Radford has also offered another theory for the original origin of the 2016 clown panic. When I was researching this, there were a lot of different theories of like exactly how it started, but according to Radford, he believes this phenomenon began around 2013. There was this young filmmaker in Northampton, UK that was dressing up as a clown, and he was posting photos on Facebook for a social media experiment, and the photos went viral. Soon, there were copycats in Britain, Ireland, France, and the US popping up all over the internet. In 2014, French police arrested 14 teenagers who terrorized local residents by dressing up as clowns and carrying weapons. So it seems like it was this domino effect. These events, combined with Stephen King's new movie, may have been responsible for putting these creepy clowns back on the map and leading to a moral panic. So, why are we scared of clowns? Other than the obvious fact that they look super terrifying. According to a study done by ScientificAmerican.com, 54% of people between 18 and 77 years of age are scared of clowns to some degree, with 5% saying they are extremely afraid of them. It was also found that women are more afraid of clowns than men for some reason. And in this study, they also looked at the science as to why we're scared of clowns, and they came up with several reasons. So one of them is the creepy makeup. Similar to artificial intelligence, clowns are human-like in appearance, but not quite human-looking. This is also why we are scared of dolls, mannequins. It's existential and unsettling. Clown makeup hides emotional signals and makes us feel uncertain because we can't tell what their intention is. We can't see a smile or a frown. Our brains can't compute what their facial expressions are trying to tell us. The color of the makeup that clowns wear, the red, also might subconsciously remind us of death, infection, or blood. It's also believed that the clown's exaggerated facial features might biologically and subconsciously convey to us a direct sense of a threat. And then there's their behavior. Clowns break social norms. They're very unpredictable, and that makes us uncomfortable. And then it could also be learned behavior. Having a fear of clowns could be learned from your parents or negative portrayals in the media and in movies and books, like Pennywise, John Wayne Gacy. We don't see a lot of clowns in the media that are positively portrayed, you know? So what about some clowns that further play into this fear and are just plain creepy? Hey everybody, we are going to take a quick break from the show so I can let you know about the special that I am running for a limited time only over at the Perplexed Society. If you go to patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast right now to join any tier, you will notice there are some codes there. You can use codes to get 50% off your first month on Patreon. This means that for half off, you would get Perplexity episodes 2 days early and ad-free. That would just be for $1. And if you want to unlock tons and tons of bonus content, if you want merch, you can check out my other tiers, and those would start at just $2.50 instead of $5 a month. The Patreon is the number one reason I get to keep doing this podcast, and I'll be honest, it feels a little bit weird and icky plugging it. But I don't make much of anything from doing this show, and it does cost money to keep the show up and running. So when you guys join, it helps me keep the show going, help me get equipment, all of the different software programs I need, and it will also help me bring you better content. There's also tons of perks to joining this awesome community over here. You get your topic requests and listener stories prioritized. So don't wait, go over to patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast right now. Check out those tiers and use the code. I'm not telling you the name of the code right now because it's like right between when the last one lapsed, so I don't know what the code is going to be called yet. But if you go to patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast and you're looking at the tiers, there will be a code advertised that you can use to get half off your first month. So again, that is patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. I will see you over there.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step 3, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Now back to the show. In 2015, an anonymous man from Florida created the character Wrinkles the Clown. He would dress up and hire himself out to parents to scare kids for a few hundred bucks. This creepy dude was offering to come into people's houses and scare their kids. This character went viral in 2015 on YouTube after a video surfaced of this man sleeping under this girl's trundle bed and coming out from the drawer and popping up and scaring this little girl while she was sleeping. Subsequently, the character appeared in several more videos, either scaring the shit out of kids or engaging in very disturbing behaviors, like standing on the side of the road when it was dark outside and just like waving to passerbys. So people just thought this was some creepy clown and these awful parents were hiring him to scare their kids. And this was believed for several years. But this would change in October 2019 when a documentary called Wrinkles the Clown was created about the character. This documentary revealed, spoiler alert, that these videos were staged. This was all part of conceptual performance art. And Wrinkles' true identity was also kept secret. But I gotta wonder, like, what was the purpose of doing this? Another case that I was familiar with before I did this story is the murder of Marlene Warren. Marlene was fatally shot by a clown in 1990. Marlene would hear her doorbell ring in Fort Lauderdale. She opened the door and came face to face with a smiling clown, wearing a bright orange wig, holding flowers and two balloons. The clown handed her the balloons, one of them reading, "You are the greatest." And Marlene thought it was a nice gift from her husband or somebody. So she's like, "Oh my gosh, this is so nice." And then the clown pulled out a gun and shot Marlene point blank in the face. Horrific. Her son Joseph was also home when this happened. So he hears the commotion, runs to the porch, and he's cradling his mom, who's bleeding out. And he remembered meeting the dark brown eyes of this assailant before the clown fled away in an unmarked vehicle. Marlene Warren's murder remained unsolved for nearly 30 years. But eventually, the killer clown was identified. And it was a woman. Sheila Keene Warren was arrested and pled guilty to second-degree murder in a plea deal after improved DNA testing tied her to evidence found in the getaway car. At the time of the shooting, Sheila was employed by Marlene Warren's husband, Michael, at his used car lot. And since 2002, Sheila, like Marlene, had also been married to Michael. This man had two wives. Unbelievable. Sheila and Michael eventually relocated to Abingdon, Virginia, and they ran a restaurant together just along the Tennessee border. Witnesses would tell investigators way back at the time of the murder, Sheila and Michael were having an affair, though both denied it. Years after the murder, costume shop employees identified Sheila Warren as the woman who had bought a clown suit a few days before the killing. One of the two balloons was this silver balloon that read, "You're the greatest," and this was sold at only one store, a Publix supermarket, which just so happened to be right by Sheila's house. Employees told detectives a woman who looked like Sheila had bought the balloons just 1 hour before Marlene Warren was shot. The presumed getaway car was also found abandoned with orange hair-like fibers inside, just like the wig that the clown was wearing. This was a white Chrysler convertible, and it had been reported stolen from Michael Warren, the husband's, car lot a month before the shooting. How convenient. Sheila and her then-husband repossessed cars for Michael. Relatives told the Palm Beach Post in 2000 that Marlene Warren, who was 40 when she was murdered, had been suspecting her husband of cheating and had planned to leave him. But the car lot and other properties were in her name, and she feared what would happen to her financially if she left Michael. She allegedly confided in her mom shortly before her murder, saying, quote, "If anything happens to me, Mike done it." To this day, Michael Warren has never been charged with any involvement in Marlene's murder. However, he was convicted of grand theft, racketeering, and odometer tampering in 1994, serving about 4 years in prison. A year before this, Michael Warren was at a Palm Beach County courthouse walking out of the courtroom with an attorney named Christopher DeSantis when he asked the lawyer a very interesting question. He was like, theoretically, let's say a husband was going to kill his wife. What would happen to her estate? And DeSantis was like, okay, weird question, but, you know, I'm going to advise this person. But then somehow, like, I got to look sideways at DeSantis a little bit, because somehow the topic of dressing up as a clown comes up. And apparently DeSantis told Michael, if someone, a killer specifically, dressed up as a clown, they would likely get away with it, because witnesses wouldn't be able to tell if the killer was a man or a woman. And now I really want to get into this case more and learn about it. There's a 3-part documentary on the case called Killer Clown: Murder on the Doorstep. This aired on Sundance TV, AMC Plus, and Sundance Now. So I want to see if I can find it. But that is the murder of Marlene Warren. And how tragic. A man couldn't keep his hands away from another woman, and this happened. And Sheila was stupid enough to do his dirty work for him. Further feeding into the fear of clowns, I naturally had to go to Reddit and see what I could find. And I regretted it instantly. But I'm facing my fears today, and you have to hear these stories too. We have to be scared together. So this first clown encounter story from Reddit is from Reddit user Time189, and it is titled Childhood Clown Incident That Still Has Me Wondering Experience. Quote, when I was around 5 to 6 years old, my younger brother and I, who would have been around 4 at the time, were playing in our front yard as we often did. We lived in a very bad town in Southern California. A town that had a bad reputation and numerous tragedies, especially on the street that we lived on. Suddenly, we heard laughter coming from across the street. I stopped what I was doing and I looked across the street and saw a clown in a full suit and makeup. He was standing on the upper balcony of our neighbor's house. The clown then took out an umbrella and floated down from the upper balcony and landed right in front of where my brother and I were playing. I remember the clown started talking to us, but I cannot remember what he said. I just remember he was very loud, and he would move his arms wildly when he talked. He then took out 2 large circus-style lollipops, handing one to each of us. The clown said something to us and then pulled the umbrella out and floated back up to the neighbor's balcony and went inside. I always chalked this up to something I imagined since I was so young when it happened. I never mentioned it to anyone until I was 19. My brother and I were hanging out with some friends and sharing stories about strange experiences. I decided to retell the clown story when all of a sudden my brother's jaw dropped to the floor. His eyes were the size of dinner plates. He said he remembered the clown, and he described details about the incident that I left out. I couldn't believe that he would remember something like that. I was also in disbelief that it wasn't something that I had just imagined. Now, this particular street had its fair share of strange and tragic occurrences, from murders, house fires, and overdoses. It was always considered a cursed street. Could we have imagined this, or was it something that was conjured up from all the negative energy of that town / street? The idea of a clown fucking floating down with an umbrella and being like, hello, would you like a lollipop? I would be locked away in a psych ward. You would never see me again. I would never recover from that. I would become one of those conspiracy theorists that's like locked in a house all the time. Like the lady from Final Destination Bloodlines, that would be me. I would never leave my house. Oh my God. And then the fact that the brother was like, yeah, I remember that too. It kind of reminds me of the episode I did a while back, Sam the Sandown Clown. Do you guys remember that? It was an alien robot kind of clown. Like, the story does give me paranormal kind of alien vibes for sure, with the floating and everything. So then, on this Reddit story, there were a bunch of comments, and they were also like people who had had creepy clown experiences, and there's some pretty good crazy ones. One reply to their encounter was from Reddit user Firedance, and they say, quote, "So, that's weird, and here's why. When I was about five-ish, we were living in Southern California. We lived in an apartment building, and the kids in the building started telling their parents about seeing clowns, at least from what my parents said. Then I saw the clown. It was in my bedroom on the second or third floor. I screamed, of course, and my parents came running, finding me hysterical about this clown that was in my room. My parents must have assumed it was a nightmare, except my window, which had been shut and locked, was wide open. I wasn't tall enough to reach the latch, so I couldn't have opened it. My parents checked outside, but there was nothing there. My dad and some of the other men in the building also searched the area around the building. Even though it had just rained recently, there were no footprints or ladder marks, so there was no way anyone could have been in my room unless they floated up. ... End quote. California, what's going on? Are there floating alien clowns? What? I need more information. Because I'm supposed to go to California in a few months, and I can't deal with this, okay? So then there was another comment from Reddit user Point Defiant, who said, "I also lived in California as a kid. We lived more in the Central Valley area, but had a lot of relatives down south where we would go visit. I remember when I was around 8 to 9 years old, one of my cousins told me about a clown that randomly appeared in her yard. She told me he talked to her and what he said. I don't remember what she told me that they talked about, but I remember not believing her. But that night, I went to bed in the room with her, and we both woke up to a knock on her window, and I shit you not, it was a clown looking at us through her window. We were on the second floor. There was also no balcony or anything. So, the only way someone could be up there is if they were floating. Scared the shit out of us so bad that we ran to the living room, and when we told my uncle, he said we were tired and our eyes were playing tricks on us. But I know what I saw." End quote. Reddit, you better not be playing with me right now, because I can't deal with this. This was the point in the episode that I had fully scared myself, but I was in too deep, okay? There's no going back now. Separate story that I found, getting away from the floating alien clowns. This is from Reddit user Anne's Brooke, who has just as terrifying of a clown encounter to share. They say, quote, "I had a clown puppet that a customer of my family's business bought me. I put it in the closet because it scared the hell out of me. I was about 8 or 9, and my sister was 5. She remembers this too. It used to open the closet door and dance. We would find it moved around the room. The final straw was when it slammed open the door and fell on the ground. I had the puppet hanging from a hanger. It was not animatronic either. Then the puppet stood up and tried to walk. I threw a doll at it and knocked it down. I wrapped it in a blanket after flipping out for hours. My mom believed us. My dad didn't. My mom helped us throw it away. But the damn thing was back in the closet by morning. But it was in my sister's closet. Then my mom took it and we never saw it again. But this whole thing had gone on for like a year. I don't know if it was imagination, but my mom still says it was freaky, even though it was 20 years ago. And my sister remembers it too. Who knows what really happened or how my mom finally got rid of it. I think she maybe just took it to the dump, but she can't remember. End quote. We are mixing some of my worst fears: clowns, puppets, and dolls. No. No, no, no. If any of you ever mail me a clown, a puppet, or a doll, we're going to have beef, okay? This next story is from Reddit user Vixky. Their encounter was in 2016 during the clown panic. I found their story on this subreddit talking about the 2016 clown panic. And they say, quote, "I was chilling at a local park with some friends when I decided to walk through the park and the trail to McDonald's. I had just gotten to the trail entrance when I heard rustling in the bushes on my left. Keeping in mind it was about 9 o'clock and dark, and this type of thing didn't happen since I was there almost every day. Needless to say, it freaked me out, and I ran back to my friends and told them what happened. They were all pissed. As a group, we ran back to the bushes and started searching, when we heard quiet giggling, and it confirmed my suspicions, so I yelled, 'Come out, pussy.' No response, but about 5 seconds later, a rusty razor blade comes flying out of the bushes and hit me in the chest. We were all spooked and ran off. The next day on the news, an elderly man had been stabbed by a man dressed in a clown costume. Not fun. Edit: I live in a small town in Canada, so this type of thing really shook my town. The man was never caught, and he's probably still out there." End quote. That's horrific, and I hope that person got a tetanus shot, because a rusty razor blade hitting you in the chest is not good. It really does sound like they just avoided being murdered by a clown. This next story is from Reddit user Alberta_fish_be_the_name. And they say, quote, "Scary clown in the woods." I'll start off by explaining the area so you get a good picture of where this occurred. We lived in a small neighborhood. All of the surrounding streets dead end into a half circle park. But behind the park are some woods and a railroad track. When we were younger, we all played in the front part of the woods. We never ventured too far back. This was our play area for years. We never had issue, and we were never scared. This area was pretty well lit. But one day, my brother Jimmy, my best friend Sarah, and my brother's best friend Ian were all playing near a dam in the middle of a small creek that ran through the park and the woods. The boys decided they were going to head back to Ian's house and get some snacks. Sarah and I decided we would stay and we would finish our camp area that we had been making. As we were moving rocks around, I got a very odd feeling. It suddenly came over me. It was a strange feeling that we were being watched. I immediately thought it was the boys trying to scare us, so I just continued on with what I was doing. Sarah and I loaded up some big rocks and we headed back to the creek and put them down at the dam. But then I got that feeling again. And as I stood up, I saw something right in front of me about 30 feet away. I couldn't clearly make out what it was yet because it was behind a bush, but I did see this checkered red and blue pattern. I knew that it was nothing the boys had on, so at this point, I was focusing my eyes trying to figure out what it was. Then, as I was scanning up and down the bush, I started to realize I was looking at a clown. I shit you not, my heart started pounding immediately. The clown and my eyes locked. He was wearing a blue and red hat with a reverse pattern red and blue jumpsuit. I grabbed Sarah's shirt and immediately pulled her upright, and she also noticed the man. He was smiling with a full face of makeup and holding a giant knife. We both said nothing and started running as fast as our legs could take us. He started following us. We heard twigs snapping and the ground crunching, but we were booking it. We ran through the front of the woods, through the side of the park, and up our dead-end street. Ian and Jimmy were two houses up from the end, and they saw us running and screaming. While running past, we screamed, a clown was there, and they started laughing. We were still running and screaming for our lives when we finally made it to the middle of the street where Sarah's dad, Danny, was now running out the front door because he heard the screams. We met Danny right at the beginning of the neighbor's house when we were trying to explain what we had seen. He said, "Girls, stop it now. This is ridiculous. What are you talking about?" We tried to catch our breath, and by this time, Jimmy and Ian had caught up with us. We were crying and pointing and telling Danny again that we had seen a clown with a knife. Jimmy and Ian were laughing, and Danny was asking if they played a prank on us. About this time, an old yellow Pinto type of car came up from the dead end at the park and pulled right up next to the sidewalk of the yard we were in. Sure enough, plain as day, it was the fucking clown. No hat this time, but he still had a knife in his hand and told us to come closer. Danny started shoving us all toward the house, and he himself got so scared and started running. The car then drove off down the street. We got inside and Danny called the police. We had to give statements, and the police patrolled the neighborhood and the park for a couple weeks. We were never allowed to go to that park again. And a few months after that, the city started to clear out the woods. They were cutting down a lot of trees. They made a walking area that you could see through all the way to the train tracks. My friend and I used to talk about this many times up to her death, but no one would believe us. All of it was just so scary. This man wasn't afraid of us. He got so close to us and held a knife even when my friend's dad was there. I feel we're lucky to be alive. And had it been just one of us in the woods that day, I don't think we would have been so lucky. Sarah's dad stopped drinking that day, and we all have a fear of clowns. End quote. I did have to reword some of that for it to all be cohesive and make sense. That's just what happens sometimes when you get stories on Reddit. So it wasn't the most well-written, but that is a thing of nightmares, truly. Like, that sounds like an event that would come straight out of Stephen King's It novel. So, the ultimate question. These stories are so terrifying. Should we be scared of clowns? Well, despite my fear, I will say the good news is, statistically, it is very, very unlikely that you would ever be hurt or killed by a clown. You're more likely to be killed by your local doctor. Luckily, there seems to have just been a handful of killer clowns in the last century, like John Wayne Gacy and Sheila Warren. Killings known to have been completed by clowns account for less than 1%, 0.0088% of all murders in the US, to be exact. Arrests of clowns in the US also, by and large, have just been for minor offenses. But nevertheless, there is, and I think there always will be, this little part in the back of my mind that imagines walking through the woods at night and there being a clown lurking in the shadows. So whether that is a rational fear or not, the concept of clowns, the history behind them, and these encounter stories are certainly fascinating, terrifying, and perplexing. So that, everybody, is my clowns episode. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I really faced my fears with this one, so I hope you appreciate that. If you did enjoy this episode, let me know. If you're watching on YouTube, like this video, subscribe, drop a comment down below. If you're listening on Spotify, you can also leave a comment and we can have a little chit chat back and forth. If you haven't done so yet, I would also love it so much if you tell a couple people about the show and leave a 5-star review, rating, all of the things on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can also rate and follow on goodpods.com. That also really helps me. There's other support links down below too, like my merch, my Buy Me a Coffee link. And if you are interested in joining the Perplexed Society, go check out patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. I also just wanted to say really quick, because I've had quite a few listener requests for topics coming in. If you've made a request, I'm pretty sure I've gotten back to everybody. It is in the queue. I haven't forgotten about you. I know it's taking a while to get to some of those requests, and I apologize. I'm trying to bring a lot of variety because this is a mystery show. So I'm trying to cycle between a true crime, a paranormal, a history episode, you know. So those requests are coming. I'm looking forward to doing them. I love when you guys send me requests. If you want to send a topic request, you can always email that to me or DM me on Instagram. And as a matter of fact, I will be covering a listener request next week. So be on the lookout for that. And yeah, I hate clowns. This didn't make me feel any better about them, but it's very interesting to learn about. And yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed it. You all are amazing. I hope you have the best week. Please stay safe. Don't get killed by a clown. I hope one doesn't tap on your second story balcony window. And I will talk to you all next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Perplexity, a mystery podcast, hosted, written, and produced by Kadra Brannon. Assistant producer is TJ McRae. If you enjoyed today's episode, tell the world about it by leaving a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It really is the best way to support. Have a topic request or a perplexing story of your own you'd like to share? Send an email to perplexitymysterypodcast@gmail.com. If you would like to support the show further and unlock exclusive bonus content, join the Perplexed Society at patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. Perplexity merch and additional support links can be found in the episode description. Until next week, stay curious.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic.
Keep your eyes on the road.
Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.